Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Blackhawks live.
Here's the break in front of the pass. He scores!
That's hockey, baby!
From the downtown studios of WGN Radio, it's time for Blackhawks Live.
Let's pull back the curtain, go behind the scenes of your favorite hockey team.
That's what we're here for, guys, to win.
Blackhawks Live. Now, here's Joe Brand with Chris Bowden.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Yes, it is definitely time for Blackhawks Live, but you know what else it's time for? It's time for the Hawks to turn this thing around. They start a four-game homestand beginning tomorrow night at the United Center hosting the New York Islanders. And for the first time, Blackhawks fans can pack the UC like they've done oh so many times. But for the first time since March 2020, they have the opportunity to do that. How's it going, everyone? Along with Chris Bowden, I'm Joe Brand. This is Blackhawks Live. Let's bring in WGN-TV's Chris Bowden. How you doing, buddy? How's it going?
I'm doing all right. We had a little switcheroo here last minute where some scheduling things had to be juggled around. I thought I was going to be in studio and get to see the brand stash in person. It's going to have to wait another week because I got to stick around and do the 10:30 show here tonight. But yes, as you said, it's time to get going. And I think the team realizes that going back to practice today. They probably realized it, you know, after the first couple of games and things didn't swing their way in Pittsburgh. Some corrections definitely need to be made. A lot of guys need to play a whole lot better, get in sync with each other. No better time than this opportunity on a four-game homestand against some still pretty tough opponents. They're going to have to not only be ready to play with the help of that crowd after the anthem tomorrow night, but also be ready to play in sync with each other, because we simply have not seen that so far in the first three games. Correctable things. And remember, this team started out 0-3-1 last year. You didn't want to get out to the same type of start that they did over the last couple of years and put yourself behind the eight ball. It's still early, but it gets late real quickly here if they don't address things and get back on the right track here starting tomorrow night.
Correctable mistakes, I think, is the biggest thing. And Jeremy Colliton has acknowledged that a few times, and he's shown a lot of confidence in his team. But so far, getting off to a good start has been the problem. We're going to talk to Henrik Borgstrom in a little bit. He's going to tell us what this team is planning on doing to make sure that that doesn't happen yet again. As Chris mentioned, a couple of tall tasks coming up, one of them being the New York Islanders, a team that has gone to the Eastern Conference Final back-to-back years. They're also on a little bit of a struggle bus heading into this season, but they haven't even played a home game yet either. They won't for quite some time. So we'll see if the Blackhawks can take advantage of that tomorrow night. Before we get to Henrik Borgstrom, hey fans, be sure to change your life today. That's a powerful message. The Joint Relief Institute works hard to help make happen for hundreds of patients every day, but it would change your life if you could walk and move around pain-free. There's enough weighing on people's minds these days. Don't let joint pain weigh your body down. The Joint Relief Institute in Orland Park, Oak Brook, and now Northbrook uses sophisticated, state-of-the-art digital imaging to see precisely where your tissue has deteriorated, and then they put in a joint lubricant into that exact spot. It's fast, painless, and non-surgical. It's like putting a pillow in there to cushion your every step. Your insurance provider or Medicare almost surely will pay for it, and their insurance specialist will make sure you get the maximum coverage. So why not change your life today by making it pain-free? Go to jointreliefinstitute.com in Orland Park, Oak Brook, and now Northbrook. Same number for all three locations. Make your appointment today. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain. Henrik Borgstrom joins us after the break. You're listening to Blackhawks Live here on 720 WGN.
Dylan Strome sent it down in behind the wild net. Kirby Dock there. Out to the right point with a pass now to Jones. Put it back in behind Strome. Put it out in front. They score! Borgstrom with his first goal of the preseason. A beautiful feed from Dylan Strome from behind the wild net. And Borgstrom caught it on his stick and got it off in a blink of an eye. And the Hawks have now tied the score 1.
That goal that you just heard, along with some other impressive things that Henrik Borgstrom did during the preseason and so far in the early going here this year, is what has had him in the starting lineup Three straight days for the Chicago Blackhawks. I'm Joe Brand alongside Chris Bowden for Blackhawks Live here on 720 WGN. And we also have Blackhawks forward Henrik Borgstrom. Henrik, thanks so much for joining us today. Let's get right to it. What's been talked about throughout the team right now, finally being able to get back to the United Center and finally getting a home game this year?
Oh, it's for sure. It's huge game for us. You know, otherwise too, you know, it's the first home game, but we're gonna get a good bounce back game after those three straight losses, which was those were really frustrating. So yeah, definitely wanna get a good start tomorrow night and you know, see the crowd and get it going.
Yeah, you definitely should be ready to get out from the jump tomorrow night once they play that anthem. And I know you're probably heard all about it and familiar with it. But before that happens, you're coming off of this road trip. And as you return to practice today after that loss Saturday in Pittsburgh, had an off day yesterday. As you return to practice today, what were some of the main messages being discussed in that locker room, on the grease board, amongst the guys in terms of getting this this ship kind of righted from where it started over the first three games as you return home for a pretty big four-game homestand?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just after Saturday, I feel like the guys were really disappointed the way we played, you know, especially in the first period. And then when it's like 4-0, it's yeah. Today we were just talking about you know, about how we have to be tougher to play against and not letting odd man rushes all the time. And just like, you know, we haven't been giving ourselves the best chance to win those games. So, you know, the opponents we've been playing against, they've played well and just like waited for our mistake. And I feel like we gotta clean up our defense, you know, just be ready to defend better. And, you know, offensive side of things will come with that.
Out of those things that you and the entire team are planning on correcting, what do you feel most confident in that we can turn around? What, like, specific aspect of the game that you had been struggling with the past couple of days, what do you feel most confident in being able to turn around starting tomorrow?
Well, you know, I think in the preseason we played really, really well as a team. You know, not a lot of 2-on-1s or 3-on-2s breakaways, but now, you know, these first three games of the season have been really tough for us in that matter. And I think that's something that's pretty easy to, because those are just like, you know, mistakes that have been like coming up over and over again. And it's something that's pretty easy to fix. You know, you guys just have to be more on their toes, you know. I think me by myself too, I had one chance on Saturday when I we led as a line, we led 2-on-1 come through. And you know, gotta be more ready for that, and yeah, ready to defend, I guess.
Yeah, and when you talk about these things now, I'll ask one more question concerning this, and then we'll perhaps get on to some more positive things than what we've seen from the start here so far, and a little bit more about you personally. But when you mention some of these breakdowns, there are a lot of new faces on this team, and you are one of them, and I'm sure there is an adjustment period as you get to know each other's tendencies and comfort levels. But how much of these corrections are more mental and communication, and how much of that is determination and effort? Or is it just a combination of both of those in order to get things squared away?
Yeah, it might be a combination. I can't give you a clear answer. But, you know, lots of new faces, including myself. And it's always kind of, you know, not weird, but it's going to take a little time when there's a lot of new guys in a team. And, you know, that's definitely going to take a little time. But I mean, you know, we got great leaders, lots of experienced guys who have won it all, and you know, I'm sure we'll figure it out.
Some of those guys that you bring up, you know, the Jonathan Toews, the Patrick Kanes, even the Alex DeBrinkets. I really like, yeah, something that you had to say earlier this year about realizing your role on this team, and you said along the lines of, you don't need to be that elite goal scorer because there are so many of those already on this team. You just need to find a way to complement them, and then they can complement you. Does that maybe take a little bit of pressure off of you, you know, when you're playing with that many skilled players and knowing, okay, if I just help them play their best hockey, then we can all work together as a team a little bit better?
Yeah, maybe a little bit, but I mean, I still have to be reliable and, you know, produce good stuff on the ice. I mean, it's different when you're not necessarily the first guy you put on out there as in the power play or stuff like that. But I don't think, you know, playing the best hockey league in the world, I feel like the pressure is always going to be there. Maybe not for the guys who have scored 1,000 points, but, you know, they still probably, I feel like they still have that pressure too if the things are not going the way we want. I wouldn't say it's less pressure. It's just like the role is different, and I know I need to do like different stuff on the ice.
What was your reaction when you heard news of the trade last spring that you were going to become a Chicago Blackhawk, along with a couple of your old former Panthers teammates? What was your reaction when you were, I know, playing overseas last season?
Yeah, it was it was pretty amazing. I mean, I was just at home. Then my agent calls me that there might be a trade coming up in a couple of hours, and then, like 30 minutes later, he calls me again and he's like, yeah, it's going to go through in 30 minutes. And I'm like, holy, like it just like went by so fast, I feel like. And then I just like checked the, I didn't know who was like involved in the trade. And then I saw like Stillman was in it, and then Connolly as well. And it was just kind of weird, you know, having the first trade of my career. So but it was at the same time, it was like so exciting to, you know, just everyone knows the Blackhawks, and it was just a great opportunity, I feel like, and I was pretty pumped up for sure.
So Riley Stillman's another guy that had a good camp, worked his way into a spot on this roster, and has been in the lineup all 3 days. Is it kind of cool that, you know, you have your familiarity with him, and then both you guys come on over to the Blackhawks and find your way on this team? Is it kind of cool to have that camaraderie with him in the early going?
Yeah, obviously. I mean, we lived together in Springfield when we played in the minors together for a bit there with the Florida organization. So it's kind of fun too. I don't know if it's fun, like usually fun to get traded, but that was definitely like something kind of special to get traded with your friend. But it's been nice, and nice to have him here, kind of helped me through with some of the stuff here in Chicago, you know, just getting to know a lot of the places and things like that.
Well, another guy that you knew previously was Ian Mitchell, I think, from your days over in Denver, and you get to reconnect with him. He had an outstanding couple of seasons there at the University of Denver, and what's it like as well to be reunited with him? He doesn't throw quite the hip checks that Ian Mitchell does, but what's it like to have another familiar face in Ian with you? And I know he's still kind of, like a couple of guys, and maybe even call yourself, trying to find his game here at the NHL level. I know he was just sent out to Rockford the other day, but how would you describe your and Ian's relationship?
Yeah, it's good. I love the Ian in college. Great guy, and probably the smallest head in college hockey back then. But yeah, it's nice to have him around too, and you know, just playing with him in college. It was great. One of the better days in my life so far. So yeah, it's very, very nice to have him there too.
Have you been getting pretty close with Kevin Lankinen too, another guy from Finland?
Oh yeah, for sure. It's always nice to speak Finnish too sometimes, and makes it a lot easier too, because we live near each other, and he's that's pretty much our every night ritual. I'm texting him, can you pick me up in the morning? And he's like, yeah, I can. So it's been good. It's nice that there's guys that I know from the team that can help me out, especially in the start, because like everything is new and and lots to learn for sure.
Well, he's so much older than you, so I don't think you guys ever had a chance to play together. Correct me if I'm wrong, but what is his legend there in Finland back home in Finland after that legendary performance at the World Championships a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I think a lot of the people, especially after the championship, were recognizing him, and he had his own like reading club, because he was telling the media that he likes to read books, and the media just
wow.
Yeah, they were fired up about it, and he played for my hometown club, the same club I played for last year, and he's well respected over there, and it's great guy.
Got Henrik Borgstrom on here for a few more minutes on Blackhawks Live as we talk about the home opener that kicks off tomorrow night against the New York Islanders. Henrik, so much has been talked about your puck, or rather your skill with the puck, what you're able to do with it, and that's just one of your biggest traits on the ice. When did you realize you had that kind of gift, and what types of things did you used to do? Like, were you one of those guys that always had a hockey stick and maybe even just a tennis ball like in the hallway just to always work that craft?
Oh yeah, for sure. My dad used to coach a lot of them, like junior teams in Finland, and I was always just, you know, from like 2 year old, I was always at the rink with them, and then we would always like play street hockey with my younger brothers and our friends outside. And then my dad he's also a CEO of one of the rinks. Hmm. I took rinks in Helsinki, so like during summer times when there was not as many practices going on, we would always go out there and just skate in the middle of the summer, and the whole day would just go by out there, and just playing all types of sports too. But I feel like, you know, I've always been kind of crazy about hockey, so that would probably be the reason why.
You're like the rest of us. We're all crazy about hockey here. One more from me here. And you had a great 18-19 season in Florida. 8 goals, 18 points in 50 games. And then, you know, Joel and a new staff came in and didn't get as much of an opportunity. You went overseas to Finland to play the bulk of the season last year. How would you describe how you utilized that season last year in Finland to raise your game? And how do you think in coming back over, your game is better than it was when you left a year ago?
I think, you know, that season or my last season in USA, I think myself, I thought I was ready for NHL, and then things went how they went. And I mean, I was, you know, it's so much about confidence too. When you lose it, it's kind of tough to get back. And then I had a couple of injuries last year too. Couldn't start the season on time. And then, you know, it was tough start for me. And when I got back, you know, wasn't feeling quite that good conditioning wise. And then towards the end of the season, just like started feeling better and better and better. And then obviously, you know, that helped me out a lot. And then, you know, getting that trade and, you know, just being so excited about it and working out for it, practicing the whole summer for it. And, you know, I think that really helped me, you know, that trade too, you know, just to get that like mental side of things, you know, getting fired up about the new season and wanting to show that I can play here. So that, yeah, last year was good and definitely helped me out a lot.
Henrik, thanks so much for spending some time with us tonight and best of luck tomorrow at the home opener.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Henrik.
Nice to be here.
All right.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Big thanks to Henrik Borgstrom and the Blackhawks. We're going to take a break as we head it to the WGN newsroom. We've got a Boyke's prize pack to give away and much more here on Blackhawks Live. Let's head over to the newsroom where Kevin Wells is standing by.
Hi, Blackhawks fans. I'm coming back to Chicago. Can't wait to see you at the United Center for my Legacy Night on November 9th. See you there.
Not sure if all Blackhawks fans can recognize Marian Hossa's voice, but I'm sure more than a handful.
I think they can, especially with those who are around during his era. Definitely know it. Definitely. And definitely is one of Marion's favorite words, definitely.
I do remember not too long ago when the Blackhawks were starting to replay all those Stanley Cup big games, and Marian Hossa chimed in because it was the anniversary, I believe, of the Nashville goal. And he had a video like that. And I feel like you're right. More Blackhawks fans than not would recognize his voice.
Yeah, and hopefully by then, the defensive setup and the defensive structure and things will be more Marian Hossa-like, and they don't have to rely on him on November 9th to give them a little bit more advice, because the way things have gone defensively here in these first three games. And then hearing from Marian today, it brings you back like, that was the perfect player in terms of being able to play both ends of the ice. The Hawks, confident, we'll get things together. They just got to get it together quickly here. Communication, you know, and getting in sync with one another. This is a better roster than it was last year. There's no excuse why they shouldn't get back on the rails here quickly.
He's Chris Bowden. I'm Joe Brand. You're tuned in to Blackhawks Live here on 720 WGN. The Hawks begin their home schedule tomorrow night against the New York Islanders. Also, later on in the show, we're going to be giving away a Boyke's prize pack, which includes two bags of Boyke's Biltong made from 100% USDA choice beef, sponsored by Boyke's. Also, if you don't happen to land that prize pack, you can use the promo code WGN, get 10% off of your purchase just by going to Boykeys.com, B-O-Y-K-E-Y-S.com. Over at the United Center today, a little bit earlier, there was some new
introductions. Please tell me about this.
Well, listen, obviously these are the fun days where you get some free food. And, of course, I'm going to pounce on it, Chris. And not too long ago, we both pounced on it.
Right.
And definitely stuffed our bellies with some great little goat. Goes to the taquiera, I believe is what it's called, with the tacos and the sauce and everything. They basically spread out all that today, showed all the new accommodations at the United Center. Some of the new food items, there aren't many flashy new food items, because all the food at the United Center is already pretty good.
Yeah.
But just a wide array of everything. They had food from Queenie's, which is upstairs. They had a really cool venue down low, which is the United Center Concert Hall, or one of those rooms that you can rent out for a private event. Mm-hmm. They've got a DJ stage, plenty of tables, and lots of good stuff. But I think the main thing was to get people in there to realize, okay, what changes are going to be made when entering the United Center this year. Obviously, there's a mask mandate. There's a vaccination or negative COVID test rule that you have to have proof of that when walking into the United Center. But, you know, they've had a test run with this with the preseason and with concerts already, so they know what they're getting into. But what fans need to know is you've got to have either your vaccination card or proof of a negative test somewhere. It can be a picture on your phone. So if you've got a vaccination card, you're fully vaccinated, take a picture, probably take both sides just to be safe, and make sure you have that. Also, if you are not vaccinated, you have to have proof of a negative COVID test. That needs to be within 2 days of entering the building. So you have to have at least a picture of that. But more importantly, just have everything on your phone. Have everything ready. Otherwise, you're just going to be waiting in line for quite some time. But it seems like the United Center has done their due diligence about this already.
Yeah, and yeah, let's just say this. I'm going to miss not being there on opening night tomorrow night and hearing the anthem with a full house and all the perks of having that place packed and energized. But also to everyone out there, you know, the rules are set in place. I mean, you know, be cool about it. Be respectful of others. You have, you know, 20,000, hopefully, of your closest friends with you cheering on the same team and reacting to the same team. And let's not try to cut any corners. Be considerate of others when you're walking around the concourse and when you're, you know, having to use the restroom or whatever like that. So hopefully everyone's on the same page and all in agreement as far as that goes, as we all try to get this world back to normal. And I'll follow that up with the question of your samples today, Joe, what was your favorite? I understand they have like a convenience store or something like that they're opening up. 1800 Market, is that what I read?
Yeah. So I didn't get to try anything from there, but it's all prepackaged goods.
Right.
But yeah, it's very cool. You know, it's I don't want to undersell it, but it's kind of like an airport vibe. Where, you know, you get through security, you're checked in, and, you know, you need to pick up some snacks, maybe a drink, maybe an ice cream or something, and that's all right there. And, yeah, it's called the 1800 Market. It's connected to the atrium. But the cool thing about it is you put in your credit card, you get basically charged by entering in, but you don't get charged yet. But the sensors and the cameras and all the monitors take note of what you take, and you can just walk out of there without having to go to a cash register and actually formally pay for it. They've got on record what you have taken, but there's a huge beer supply. So if you know maybe your favorite beer isn't at the actual concourse at the United Center, they've got plenty of more options: craft beer, regular domestics, but then even just salads and chips and cookies and ice cream. And there's the opportunities are endless, Chris.
All right. Well, you still haven't told me what you liked best, though.
Okay. Well, what I liked best, what I believe is
make me jealous. Come on.
It was the Amish Chicken Vesuvio from Queenie's.
Wow.
And yeah, it was some top notch stuff. Just chicken cooked perfectly, some potatoes, some peas, a little lemon drizzle on it. It was pretty top notch.
All right, Joe. Yeah,
I had a
baggie full of nuts so far today, and some strawberries and raspberries, and that's it. So my stomach's growling.
Yeah, well, and I feel like your doctor is going to give you two thumbs up after hearing that as well. We've got a Boyke's prize pack to give away, so feel free to call us 312-981-7200. We're going to give away that. Again, if you aren't able to land that prize pack, just use the promo code WGN at Boyke's.com. Also, if you want to just send us a text about what's on your mind heading into this home opener tomorrow night from the 312 number, asking if we think that Dylan Strome will be put in the lineup, we'll get to that and some other of your questions and comments. Again, 312-981-7200. Try to call in and win a Boyke's prize pack after the break here on Blackhawks Live, 720 WGN.
Yeah, he's been good. I think he's been obviously it's tough for him not to play and being in that position, but he's handling it well. He's good in the locker room. I mean, he's working hard in practice. I think he's making the team better, whether he's playing or not. And I think the way he battles in practice has been good. And
that's number 12, Alex DeBrincat, talking about his teammate Dylan Strome, one of his good buddies he played with before the Blackhawks. And Dylan Strome has yet to play in a game this year in the regular season for the Blackhawks. I'm Joe Brand, along with Chris Bowden, here on Blackhawks Live 720. We had a text asking about Dylan Strome, and it sounds like our first caller, Katrina, has a note about Dylan Strome, too. How's it going, Katrina?
It's going pretty good. How's it going with you, gentlemen?
Oh, doing just fine, just fine. What's on your mind about Dylan Strome?
Well, there was a statement by Colleton that seemed a little ambiguous. And then, of course, a few statements by the press on Twitter. And I was just wondering if you guys wanted to, and wouldn't mind, giving your opinions on what you think is kind of going down with the Stromer thing. Whether it's he's about to be traded or it's just they truly haven't found a place for him yet in the current lineups.
Well, I think the biggest thing is, and thank you very much for your call, Katrina. I think the biggest thing is there's a lot more depth at the position at center right now than there was last year and in years past. Jonathan Toews is back. Kirby Dach is back. Tyler Johnson was added to this offseason. So with Dylan Strome's struggles that he's had in years past, the Blackhawks are kind of going with a little bit of a different look and trying to figure out some new things with these new pieces that they have. Dylan Strome hasn't played in a game yet, and he was actually wearing the white jersey today, which I believe leads us to believe that he will be a healthy scratch. But so far in the early going, Chris, that's what I would say about Dylan Strome so far.
Yeah, and there's been some reports from some of the guys who are really tapped in nationally that Stan Bowman is listening to offers for Dylan. And let's face it, a great opportunity that Dylan had last year fell by the wayside. I know he did also have some injury issues over the last couple of years that have hampered him as well. But when the time has come for him to step up and grab hold of a regular spot in the lineup, he's been unable to do so. They need him to provide offense, and they would love to see him provide offense with, an attack that has just 2 5-on-5 goals so far for the first three games. But you mentioned the added depth right here, and if they are in fact listening to offers for him, you can look at it two ways. Even they're trying to keep him from any injury, or the other thing, if he does get an opportunity and does produce, that would certainly, raise the asking price for what they could potentially get in return. But I think just based on the opportunities, defense has not been his strength. Defense has not been this team's strength through the first three contests of the season, particularly at the outset of games. So I think Jeremy Colleton is still looking for some other combinations, mixing and matching before he would go back to that if he is still a member of this team. We've all seen what Strome is capable of when he first came over that first season from Arizona. Had almost a point per game average. But since then, he hasn't been able to match that production and that real ripe opportunity that he had last year with Jonathan Toews not being able to play. He didn't quite come through that way a lot of people expected, and now some other guys are fighting for positions and can perhaps provide a little bit more balance at both ends of the ice for Jeremy.
And that's something that's been talked about so much during the preseason about the competition, how much depth this team has right now, and Jeremy Colleton continues to point out that that's a good problem to have right now. It's a good problem that guys are fighting for a spot, and it might not be the best situation for Dylan Strome right now, but you know, the last thing that Jeremy Colleton talked about Dylan Strome was saying that Dylan Strome understands at least right now the situation at hand, but he told Jeremy Colleton, the next time I come in, the next time I'm on this team playing in a Blackhawks uniform, I'm not going to be taken out again. And Jeremy Colleton mentioned how that's the right mentality he needs to have. The soundbite we just heard of it with Alex DeBrincat, basically repeating the same types of things of Dylan Strome's confidence level right now. And honestly, he was one of the last people on the ice tonight at practice, or I should say this morning, you know, doing some drills with like five or six guys left, just some one-on-one shooting by the goal line. And, you know, snuck one to the back of the net, a little bit of a celebration. It looks like his spirits are high right now, and that's a tough thing to attain in a situation like that. So the fact that he's able to do that is definitely a promising sign.
No question. His outward attitude, at least public attitude, with all of us have been great, because it has been a little bit of a roller coaster ride for Dylan here in his time in Chicago. But having that right attitude, and here's the other thing. If they try to send him down to Rockford, he's not going to clear waivers. Someone will snatch him up right away. And the other thing is if they do lose him in some manner, be it for a trade, there's the argument that, okay, we don't know whether Jonathan Toews is going to last the entire season based on the unknowns of his health situation. Wouldn't it be nice to have Dylan Strome in your back pocket? Well, the other thing is there's some other guys down in Rockford now knocking at the door who probably would be ready to make a jump after a few games under their belt. So that's kind of the catch-22 that Dylan Strome finds himself in right now.
And that's why Jeremy Colleton keeps telling everybody that is about to go down to Rockford. I love the one line he said, don't let it be wasted time. If you don't think you deserve to be down in Rockford, then prove us wrong. Take advantage of that time down there for developmental reasons and work your way back up. And that's exactly what happened to Mike Hardman. You know, three games into the season, he's coming right back up to the NHL level after he played in a handful of games last year. But he said he brought that approach down to Rockford. He said, I went in with the right mentality, didn't get all frustrated, and now he's back up as the Hawks try to switch some things. I do want to get to this one text coming from the 312 criticizing Jeremy Colleton not making any adjustments. Now listen, if you've got criticism on Jeremy Colleton, I'm not going to dispute you on everything, but he has swung around the line so much in all three games. So, I mean, adjustments have been there. I get it. There's a lackluster start to the Blackhawks for these past three games, but adjustments have been made. Tinkering with the lineup has happened. It's not like he's totally being adamant and stubborn about what's going on right now with the team.
Yeah, and you know, let's be honest here. Through the first three games of the season, it is a bit head scratching, a little bit baffling, because you know the level of this roster is better experience wise, and the old go back and look at the bubble back of the bubblegum card for what these guys have done in their careers. It is much better than it was a year ago. But in all honesty, you know, your best players have to be your best players, and we haven't seen some of the guys who we know are capable of much better things and executing much better, both on the blue line and up front, play to their capabilities through the first three contests of the season. And if I, wearing a reporter's hat here, have to look at the first three games, I can probably count the guys on one hand who have had good starts. I look at Dominic Kubalik. I look at Brandon Hagel. I look at Kirby Dach, who's had a good start. I look at Riley Stillman and maybe even Kevin Lankinen. But beyond that, there's a whole lot more in the tank for a lot of those other guys on that roster that we expect a whole lot more from, and hopefully it starts happening tomorrow night against the Islanders.
Absolutely. That's what the Blackhawks fans are hoping for. Tomorrow night, the home season begins. A four-game homestand starting tomorrow as the Hawks kick off their year at the United Center against the New York Islanders. A 7 o'clock puck drop. We'll have a 6:30 pregame here on 720 WGN. Chris, great to talk to you. We'll talk next week.
Let's next Monday, 7 o'clock, right?
Absolutely.
All right.
Can't wait
we'll
for
talk
it.
To you then.
Circled on the calendar. He's Chris Bowden. I'm Joe Brand. You've been listening to Blackhawks Live. Kevin Wells is standing by in the newsroom after the break here on 720 WGN.